Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. A warm welcome, especially if you're here, but if you are on Zoom, I can only say I didn't mean to put this tie on this morning. It looks like interference. And good morning and a warm welcome to those who are listening on the internet when we put that on. You'll notice it's not Amos. It takes me back about 20-odd years when I was teaching, and I've got to be careful because I've got a former member of staff sitting in the congregation. But the phone would go about 8:55, and somebody would say, "I'm no wheel." So I became the instant supply teacher. And my first question as I walked into the class was, "What did you do yesterday?" I can't do that here. So welcome. We'll apologise for any interference or mishaps, but nice to see you. Alison, you've got a wee end to intermission.
Thank you, Bill, and well remembered. Thank you. I've just got a wee intermission, an extra one from Diane Miller, who can't be here in person this morning. She just wanted to say that there's a volunteer inquiry meeting tomorrow at Manor at 1:30 with complimentary tea and coffee, if that would entice you. So just to find out about possible volunteering with no obligations attached. So just if you could spread the word around and maybe have a go in case you thought you might. Okay, thank you very much.
I got a gold star from Alison for remembering her, but I forgot one other thing, which is just to draw your attention to the third item on the intimations this morning. It's a service on the 26th of January. And it's a joint service. Remember, we had one Easter, a joint service with Craig Fliskin Kilmeny and Balmerino and Wormit, a joint service at 11 o'clock, and it's in Wormit, so we know where we are. It's a 10:15. All right. Oh, come on. 10:15. All right, okay. Jesus calls us to his table, rooted firm in time and space. Here, the church on earth and in heaven finds a common meeting place. We gather together and yet apart, using this time and this space to meet God and allow him to meet us. Permit God to use this time in this space. Let him be the breath in our words. Let him be the reason behind our thoughts. Let him be the impulse in our worship. Allow him to teach us. Allow him to serve us. Allow him to use us. Let us worship that ever-present God. Our first hymn this morning is Hymn 132 in the hymn books, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Yeah.
Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Living God, on this first Sunday of another year, we come to praise you, conscious that you have watched over us in the months gone by. You have blessed us in so much that is past. Teach us to trust you for the future. We have praised you for the countless ways we have experienced your love, the faith you have nurtured, the strength you have given, the guidance you have offered. You have blessed us in so much that is past. Teach us to trust you for the future. We praise you for the fun we have enjoyed, the fellowship we have shared, the encouragement we have given and received. We thank you for the ventures we have begun, the successes we have achieved, and the dreams we still have. You have blessed us in so much that is past. Teach us to trust you for the future. Living God, you have always been by our sides, your love constantly surrounding us, your hand supporting us. Whatever we have been called to face, you have blessed us in so much that is past. Teach us to trust you for the future. Grant now your blessing on the days ahead. Help us to make the most of the opportunities that lie before us, to live each day to the full, and to stay faithful to you through good and bad, serving Christ in all that we do. You have blessed us in so much that is past. Teach us to trust you for the future. Father, we pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us that when we are in church together, we pray, saying, Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is hymn 345. Halle, Halle, Hallelujah.
Thank you. children, come up to the front, please. Awesome. Right. There's a couple of things I want to tell you before we start our children's talk this morning. Friday night we had a Cayley, a family Cayley, which raised £300 for Youth Alpha, which is amazing. Robert Hutchinson, who's not here this morning, led the Cayley for us, led all the music and all the dancing, and it was incredible, and everyone who was there would agree it was a really good night. So in total so far, we've raised £450 for Youth Alpha, which is amazing. It is incredible. Our young people are going to really enjoy pizza on the first night, and we're going to have a really great trip throughout the process. We'll go away for a day as well, which is exciting. So Youth Alpha will start on Sunday the 26th of January, which is great. The second thing I wanted to say is that I'm going to be doing the children's talk this morning, but it's to introduce what a programme that we run in the schools starting on Tuesday, and it's called Bible Alive. This programme is a curriculum event that we run every year for the last 2 years. This is our third year doing it for Primary 6 in Newport Primary, and we're hopefully going to go out soon. It is led by myself, Jane and Kevin. The three of us will be going into school on Tuesday afternoon to teach the Bible in its entirety from the start to the end in 7 weeks, 1 hour lesson. Do you think we can do that? Oh, I can. Okay, that's good confidence. Okay, so children's talk this morning is going to be on Bible Life. Thank you. Please keep us in your prayers as we lead this topic. So part of Bible Life is a need involvement from everybody. Yes, everybody, including the adults, okay? And we're going to teach you a few things that we do, including some sign language. So that'll be at the end, but I'm expecting audience participation. So, welcome to Bible Live. My name is Chris, and I'm going to be leading you to teach the Bible over the next 7 weeks in 1 hour sessions. Bible, some people think, is a big, black, boring book. Sometimes people think, oh, there's nothing to do with it. There's nothing in it. No point. Other people think it's just a bunch of morals and just got some outlines to live your life. Other people, not many, but other people think the Bible is full of colour and life. Okay? And we're going to hopefully teach you more about the Bible and help you understand that the Bible's got lots of life. But I've got a question for you guys. If I say the word Bible, what comes to mind? Give me your first word that comes to mind. Go for it.
A book that Christians like read.
Okay, one word. Bible.
God.
Okay, Bible.
Baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus. Any other thoughts? Come on, shout them out. Bible. If I say the word Bible, shout them out. Church. Thank you. Come on, some more. Stories, thank you. Jesus, teaching. There's lots of things that come to mind. But a lot of children these days don't necessarily know what that means. How many books are in the Bible? Don't know. Take a guess. Give me a number.
422.
422 books, okay. Quite a lot. How many books do you think? 300? How many books do you think?
Four.
Okay, it's quite a range. Okay, that's okay. There's in fact 66 books in the Bible. And it's split into two parts. What are the two parts? No. It's called the Old and the New Testament. And we'll get into that in a moment. But remember that number, 66, all right? I'm going to introduce you to our Bible books. This is a teaching material that we use to introduce Bible stories. And it's crammed full of stories. Let's have a look at what's in it today. Golden syrup. Like, looks like it's got a lion on it. What could be Daniel and the Lion's Den? Oh, we don't need that today. Crown. Could be Story of the Kings, Queens, maybe? No, I don't need that today. I want a sheep. Cute little sheep. No, I don't think we need that today. I think what we do need are these things. Okay. So, in the Bible, it contains lots of different kinds of stories. It contains stories about poems and history. It contains stories about laws and justice. It contains songs, stories about songs. There's an entire book dedicated to songs. Does anybody know that book's name? Psalms, thank you very much, Psalms. There's also another one, but we'll get into that in a minute. There are stories about kings and queens. There's even a story about one particular queen called Esther, where, did you know, God isn't even mentioned once in that book, but it's still part of the Bible, because Esther relied on God and saved her people. There's also letters addressed to different people and groups of people, or even individuals as well. And finally, there's also love stories. Young people go, ugh, love stories, ugh, yuck. Love stories, what do you think, you? Yeah, no, not for you. But there's also more. There's stories about action and adventure. There's stories about war. There's stories of history. It's crammed full of stuff. And it's incredible. Now remember, I said 66 books to know, and it's split into two parts, yeah? How many books do you think are in each part? Give me an answer. Take a guess. 33.
Good answer.
You would think that, wouldn't you? You would think 33, right? But it's not. And I'm going to give you a really easy way to remember it. So the first part is called the Old Testament, isn't it? Yeah. How many letters are in the word old? Three, right, three. How many letters are in the word Testament? They're counting it. Everyone's counting it. How many? Nine, thank you, nine, yeah. And you put them together, and what number does that make? 39, right? So there's 39 books in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, how many letters in the word new? Three. How many letters in the word Testament? Nine. But what's the difference between the Old and New Testament? Who do we learn about? And his son, who died on the cross. So 3 times 9 is 27. There you go. Good maths. Thank you. So there's 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New. So it's 3 times 9 because Jesus died on the cross, and that's how we remember it. Jesus is part of the story in the New Testament. Do you think you can remember that? How many books in the Old Testament? I know you're looking up there. How many books in the New Testament? 27. Yeah, exactly. Cool. Awesome. Right. This is where I would like you guys to pick up your Bibles in the pews. That hardly ever gets used. Okay, and you're going to work with me. So we've got the book, John 3:16. You should know the verse, right, if you're a Christian, off by heart. But we're going to teach you how to look at it. So you open up your Bible and you go to the contents page. If I say to you, find John 3:16, what would be the book's name? John, right, so you would have a look for where John. So have a look for and tell me the page number. So find 1153. Chapter 3, you're looking for the big number, aren't you? Yeah? Chapter 3, you're looking for the big blue number on the screen. It looks like that. Found the big number? Yeah? Has everybody found the big number? John chapter 3. And then you look for the small number, 16. Have a look for the small number. Okay, got it? We use the Good News Youth Bible, so these are the exact slides that we use for when we're teaching it with the kids, because during the week they'll have a wee booklet and they go find their Bibles in the school. They're the exact same that we use for our children and youth, and they use this. This is how we teach them how to find it. You found it? Would you like to read it out for me?
Go for it. For God who loved the world so much that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die and have an eternal life.
Thank you. Well done. And that's how you find a verse in the Bible. You go to the contents, you find the book name, you then turn to that page, you then look for the big number for the chapter, and then you look for the small number for the verse. That makes sense, right? Okay. And it's a lot easier for us today. But back when the Bible was written over 1,500 years ago, and over by 40 different authors, they didn't have pages or numbers. They just had the entire book. They didn't have chapters or verses. It was all together as one. So the reason why there's chapters and verses is for us to find it easier. Does that make sense? So that's why there's chapters and verses. The last thing I wanted to teach you this morning is rhyme and sign. Sounds a little bit complicated, but it's actually really easy. So I'm going to do it through really quickly, and then we're going to teach you. Jane, can you come up and show the choir as well? The way this works is, can you wave with the hand that you're right with, folks? Wave, right? If you are right-handed, you copy exactly what I do. If you're left-handed, you've got a slightly more difficult job. You've got to do it the opposite of what I do. So everything I do with my right hand, if you're left-handed, you've got to do it with your left hand. Does that make sense? Yeah? So I'm going to read it through once off memory, and I'll show you the signs, and then we'll teach you how to do it. The Bible is a library of 66 books for you. 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. It's okay, everyone has the same reaction. So, the way we teach it is this. Take your right hand, or your most dominant hand, put it underneath, and you put your hand, other hand on top. That's the start for the sign of the Bible. The whole sign for the Bible is you take your right hand, or your dominant hand, and put a cross on top with your thumb. So you draw a cross on top. You then put it back under, and you open it up. That's the sign for the Bible, because we want to open the Bible up. So the Bible, for a library, you're going to go left to right, as if you're writing on a piece of paper, yeah? So you always go left to right. So the library is a library, you're putting books on the shelf, is a library. When you're not using the other hand, you put it down by your side as well, because you don't want to confuse people. So let's do that whole line again. The Bible is a library. Now, for number six, thumbs up, turn to your side. That's number six. And again, when you're doing double digit numbers, you go left to right. So it goes 66. Your hand wants to be fist out, thumb out, like that. 66, left to right. Always go left to right. Books, we've already done the same for it. Books. And then for you, you just point forward. Does that make sense? Do you think we can do that whole first part together? Yes? How are you getting on, choir? Doing all right? Good. Right. Start from the beginning. The Bible is a library of 66 books for you. Great. Well done. That's the first part of our couplet. It's hard work, isn't it? But the kids get it. I've had children come up to me the following year and go, Chris, I've remembered this, and they show me it in the playground. It's cool, cool. For number three, put three fingers together up in the air, close them together, and put them out in front of you. That's number three. Number nine, you're going to turn your hand 90 degrees and put your pinky out. That's number nine. 39. Right. For the word Old Testament, sometimes we can't really convey sign language in a way, so you put them together to try and convey a phrase. So this is one of the instances. For Old Testament, I'm really sorry, the older generation, this is what the sign is. You put a claw out, and you just drag it across your face. But that's the sign for Old Testament. So Old Testament. So part of the reason is that when you get old, your bones get a little bit sore. So sorry. For 27 books in the new, So 20, so two, so you want your hand facing, back of your hand facing towards your sign. And then seven, thumb in the air, pointer out. So 27 in the new. So the new, you take your other hand, put it out in front of you, and then you're putting your right hand, your dominant hand, up and through. It's like a new flower bulbing for the first time. So that's the sign for new. Okay. Do you think we can do that line again? 27 in the new. Great, awesome. Remember, when you're going up, it goes between your other hand and your body. Let's do that second part together. 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the new. Great, good job, guys. Now we're going to put it all together, and we're going to do it from the beginning. Are we ready? The Bible is a library of 66 books for you. 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. Give yourselves a round of applause. Well done. And that is a small introduction to what Bible Live is all about. Thank you, Jane, for your help. We do lots of different things. We do quizzes, we do stories, we do dress up, we do poems, we do... What else do we do? games. We do some games, don't we? We do some storytelling, and we do rhyme and sign, and use the Bible box. There's lots of cool things we do. And we do take them through the entire Bible over the next 7 weeks. So please keep in your prayers now that you've experienced a little bit of Bible life. We've got 7 hours to teach the entire Bible. So we do our best. So that's great. I think we're now on to birthday blessings, aren't we? Does anybody have a birthday this week? Come on, Sebastian. There's also another big one coming up as well. I believe there's also another big birthday that happened over the Christmas period. I think somebody was 30. Come on out as well. I had to do when I was 30, so they've got to do when they were 30. Right. So, what's your name and how old were you?
I'm Sebastian and I was 13.
I'm Catherine and I was 30 and I cannot actually believe this guy is nearly as tall as me.
There you go. Cool. Awesome. What did you get for your birthday? Take the mic.
I got a new set of golf clubs.
Uh-huh. And what else?
I got some trainers.
Which he's wearing today. There you go. What about you, Catherine?
My lovely friend Chris and Katie got me a candle making workshop.
Yeah.
Very nice. Afternoon tea, some nice jewellery.
Nice. Sounds like a good birthday as well. That's a bit of a question. What do you like to do at school or work? What's your favourite thing about school or work?
PE.
PE? You like PE? Nice. Okay, awesome.
I work with children, and so I get to sing, dance, and go outside.
Nice.
Pretty fun.
Sounds good. And what do you like to do outside of school or work?
I like to swim and go on my bike.
Nice. Cool.
As many of you know, I'm quite crafty, so I make cards, I like painting, and more recently I was starting to learn the guitar.
Oh, there you go. Nice. Cool. Awesome. Well, we want to say, we're going to sing happy birthday to both of you right now, but I'd like to pray for you both just now, if that's okay. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for Sebastian, and we thank you so much for Catherine, Lord. Thank you for the joyous celebrations that was their birthdays, Lord, and what they got and what they received and the love that they felt on those days. Lord, we thank you for them. We pray that you bless them and fill them with the Holy Spirit today and let them enjoy the things that they do outside of work and school, like crafty stuff and learning guitar, as well as like playing sports and golf and stuff like that as well. Lord, we thank you for their work in their school. I pray that you bless them as they go about their daily business. Help them to know that you are there with them as they set foot into their school and workplace respectively. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're going to sing birthday blessings together. The words are slightly different and they're up on the screen. Now we're going to sing hymn number 137, All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Thank you. Let us listen for the word of God. Our first reading from the Old Testament is from the book of Jeremiah, reading in chapter 31, verses 10 to 14. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, proclaim it in distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them and will watch over his flock like a shepherd. For the Lord will ransom Jacob and redeem them from the hand of those stronger than they. They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord, the grain, the new wine, and the oil, the young of the flocks and herds. They will be like a well-watered garden, and they will sorrow no more. Then maidens will dance and be glad, young men and old as well. I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. I will satisfy the priests with abundance, and my people will be filled with my bounty, declares the Lord. And our New Testament reading is from the letter to the Hebrews, reading from chapter 2, verses 10 to 18. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again he says, here am I and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Thanks be to God. We will continue our worship with the next hymn, number 356, Meekness and Majesty, Manhood and Deity.
Thank you. before Amos called off sick this morning, or as he called off sick, he did fortunately send through his sermon for this morning. So whilst Bill had the tricky task of coming up with some prayers, I've got the supposedly easier job of reading the sermon Amos would otherwise have read. So please look on this as being Amos's sermon, not my sermon, but there's plenty of good stuff in it, don't worry on that score. The text is taken from Fraser's New Testament reading from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 to 18. And whilst a previous minister had almost always three topics in the sermon, Amos has managed four in this one. A new year with Jesus as pioneer, brother, liberator, and high priest. But first, a light-hearted beginning, and a happy new year to one and all. Is it amazing how the dawn of a new year brings a mix of excitement, hope, and maybe just a little anxiety? Many of us, I'm sure, have already set resolutions, perhaps to eat healthier, exercise more, or read a good book each month. But how many of us will still be keeping those resolutions come February? Let me share a story about a New Year's resolution. A man resolved to spend less time on his phone and more time with his family. January the 1st, he proudly put his phone away and then spent the next 3 hours figuring out how to program the new smartwatch he got for Christmas. Resolutions have a way of humbling us, don't they? As we gather here at the start of 2025, we're invited to reflect not just on resolutions, but on our lives, our faith, and our relationship with Jesus Christ. Today's text from Hebrews paints a vivid picture of who Jesus is and what it means to follow him. But before we dive into the text, let's take a brief journey around the world to understand how some different cultures mark the new year. In China, the Lunar New Year, which comes a few days or weeks into our calendar new year, is there a time of renewal, rich in symbolism and tradition. Families clean their homes to sweep away bad luck, give red envelopes filled with money to symbolize prosperity, and light fireworks to ward off evil spirits. It's a celebration of hope and unity, rooted in ancient customs that remind people to begin anew. In the United States, New Year's Eve is all about the ball drop in Times Square, fireworks, and of course, resolutions. Americans toast the future with optimism, though sometimes these resolutions become an annual joke. And here in Scotland, Hogmanay is steeped in tradition, from singing Auld Lang Syne to the ancient practice of first footing, where the first visitor of the year brings gifts like coal or shortbread to ensure good fortune. These customs, while light-hearted, carry deeper meanings of friendship, community, and new beginnings. And across these cultures, New Year's celebrations share common themes of hope, renewal, and the desire for a better future. They reflect a universal yearning for something greater, something Jesus offers in his role as our pioneer, brother, liberator, and high priest. The writer of Hebrews uses powerful images to describe Jesus and his work, providing a lens through which we can see our lives and our hope in Christ as we step into this new year. Jesus as the pioneer of salvation. This first image of Jesus as our pioneer is, in fact, a pioneer who is someone who ventures into uncharted territory, blazing a trail for others to follow. Just as pioneers of the past carved paths through rugged landscapes for new settlements, Jesus has paved the way for us to have a relationship with God. The text tells us that Jesus was made perfect through suffering. His suffering was not a mark of failure, but part of his mission to reach the goal of salvation for us. By enduring the cross, he not only opened the path to God, but also showed us that suffering is not the final word, As we stand at the threshold of a new year, we're reminded that Jesus has already charted the course ahead. Even in moments of trial, his resurrection assures us that hope and glory await us. Jesus is our brother. The second image is that of Jesus as our brother. He is not ashamed to call us his siblings, despite our imperfections. Think of a younger sibling who wants desperately to tag along with their older brother or sister, only to be dismissed as a nuisance. But Jesus doesn't dismiss us. He welcomes us into the family with grace and love. And this image speaks to our need for belonging. In a world that often judges and excludes, Jesus' embrace gives us dignity and reminds us that we are part of God's family. Jesus is the liberator. The third image presents us that through his death, he destroys the power of death and sets us free from the bondage of sin and fear. Think of someone trapped in addiction, abuse, or despair. These chains are not easily broken. Yet Jesus steps into the battlefield of our lives, confronting evil with love and truth. His victory on the cross is the ultimate act of liberation, freeing us to live in hope and confidence. As we look to 2025, may we find ourselves wrestling with fears, fear of failure, uncertainty, or loss. Hebrews assures us that Jesus has already won the ultimate battle, and we can face the future unafraid. Jesus is the high priest. And finally, depicts Jesus as that high priest who makes atonement for our sins. Unlike the sacrifice of the Old Testament, Jesus offers himself as the perfect sacrifice, restoring our broken relationship with God. This image reminds us of the depth of God's love. Jesus didn't simply make a gesture of love. He gave everything so that we might be reconciled to God. As we reflect on the year ahead, we're invited to let go of guilt and shame, knowing that Jesus has already paid the price for our sins. We can move forward in freedom, trusting in his grace. Dear friends, these images of Jesus, pioneer, brother, liberator, and high priest, are not just theological concepts. They speak to the deepest needs of our hearts. In a world where many feel directionless, Jesus is the pioneer who leads us towards purpose and hope. In a society that often excludes and alienates, Jesus is the brother who embraces us in love. In the face of oppression and fear, Jesus is the liberator who sets us free. And in a culture burdened by guilt and striving, Jesus is the high priest who offers us grace. As we step into the unknowns of this new year, we can do so with confidence, knowing that Jesus walks with us, offering guidance, belonging, freedom, and forgiveness. A couple of questions for reflection. What areas of our life feel uncertain as we begin this new year? How can we trust Jesus as our pioneer to guide us? Who in our life needs to experience the belonging, freedom, or grace that Jesus offers? How can we share his love with them? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of a new year and the promise of your presence with us. As we reflect on the images of Jesus in Hebrews, we are reminded of his faithfulness as our pioneer, brother, liberator, and high priest. Help us to trust him to guide us through the challenges ahead, to embrace the belongings he offers, to live in the freedom he has won, and to rest in the grace of his sacrifice. Strengthen us to walk in faith and to share your love with others, so that we may bring glory to your name in this new year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next hymn this morning, hymn 543, Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness.
We come now to our prayers of dedication and intercession. Let us pray. Father, we dedicate all that we have to you, our time, our talents, our money, our very beings. Where there is a call, we will answer. Where there is a need, we will fill it. Where there is a cross, we will carry it. Whatever we face, whatever happens, wherever we go, we will face it with an unwavering faith, a cheery smile, and a resolute heart. Father, we are yours. Gracious God, as we come to you at this time of new beginnings, we are reminded of those who feel the future holds no promise, those who struggle with burdens, burdens to which they can see no solution. Reach out in love and grant a new beginning. We pray for those facing pressures at home, relationships strained between husband and wife, parent and child, brother and sister, patience stretched to breaking point. Reach out in love and grant a new beginning. We pray for those facing pressures of work, overwhelmed by responsibilities, caught up in office politics, troubled by job insecurity, or simply bored and unhappy in what they do. Reach out in love and grant a new beginning. We pray for those facing pressures of money, struggling to make ends meet, crippled by debt, frustrated by poor pay, or uncertain whether and when their next paycheck will arrive. Reach out in love and grant a new beginning. We pray for those facing pressures of health, waiting perhaps for a diagnosis, crushed by depression, wrestling with infirmity as the years go by, or living with the knowledge of terminal illness. Reach out in love and grant a new beginning. We pray for those facing pressures of faith, racked by doubts, troubled by questions, feeling themselves cut off from your love, enduring the dark night of the soul. Reach out in love and grant a new beginning. Gracious God, may your love, compassion, strength, and support reach out to all who are hurting, and may you bring them a sense of hope, the conviction that, however bleak it may seem, you hold the future in your hands now and for all eternity. Reach out in love and grant a new beginning. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now, for those who are able, we stand to say the old prayer of faith, a statement, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hymn 161, hymn 161, O God, our help in ages past.
Thank you.
our service here is ended and we journey out into the world. As we do so, be bold to share the story of Jesus and to show his love. And the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and those whom we love, now and forevermore.